2 Corinthians 9, verses 8, 11, and 15. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. When your gifts are taken to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. Thank God for his Son, a gift too wonderful for words.
God's unspeakable gift. Our objective this morning is to make Christmas personal for you. Let's bow our heads. We do thank you, Father, for the reminders that we have had of what you have done. Might we take it in and make it personal for us and have a greater understanding of what has been done on our behalf. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And so this is Christmas, someone once said. And once again, we are reminded of what has been done for us through the most wonderful gift that could ever be imagined. God first made his plans, and then he has extended to humanity this unspeakable gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you appreciate receiving gifts? What value do you assign to this particular gift? I believe that you are aware that every good gift comes from above. Reference James 1:17. And I hope that you realize, if all else fails, you can record this one remarkable gift as absolute truth. God has gifted to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This text found in 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13 explains why you can enthusiastically sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." I hope you believe that. It was just over 2 millennia ago that there were Judean shepherds in the fields outside of a certain village, guarding their flocks of sheep by night. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them. Understandably, they were, in our language, scared to death. The Bible says they were terribly frightened. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news with great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. This will be how you recognize him. You will find the baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Reference Luke 2:8-10. Now, December 25 has long been the commemoration of the day of Jesus' birth. We know this is not actually the day of his birth. The truth is that Christmas festivities have grown to be a gross misrepresentation of Christ's birth. I believe that you understand that already. But it's not our purpose this morning to affirm or question the suitability of celebrating this event on this particular day. Rather, it is our privilege to dwell upon this gift as it has been bestowed to us. Amen. Jesus Christ was given as our Savior and our Lord. Should be our purpose to call to the attention of the world's inhabitants to the humble manner in which our Redeemer came to this world. We can imagine that the entire universe was interested in this great event, Christ's first advent. God specifically sent heavenly messengers to make known the birth of this long-promised, long-expected Savior to those humble shepherds who were watching their flocks that night on the plains of Bethlehem. The first manifestation that attracted the attention of the shepherds was a radiant light in the starry sky. This filled them with wonder and admiration. These astonished shepherds could scarcely comprehend the precious message that was borne to them by the angels. Yet when the light had passed away, they said to one another, "Come on, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." Then they ran to the village, and there they found Mary and Joseph. And there with them was the baby lying in a manger. Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child, referencing Luke 2:15-17. What matchless love Jesus Christ has manifested for a fallen world. Now, if the angels sang because the baby was born in Bethlehem, shall not our hearts echo that same joyful message? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Now, although we don't know the exact day of Christ's birth, we honor this sacred event today. May the Lord forbid that anyone should be so narrow-minded or short-sighted as to overlook this event just because there is uncertainty in regards to the exact time period. Let us do what we can to fasten our minds upon those things which are so precious to everyone who loves Jesus. Let us teach our children how Jesus came to the world to bring hope and comfort and peace and happiness to all. Let the hearts of all respond with exceeding joy for this priceless gift, the Son of God. As we read earlier, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Other translations say, "indescribable, inestimable, incomparable, inexpressible, or a gift beyond words." Jesus, the Prince of Life, came to our world as a babe in Bethlehem to be an offering for our sin. As someone once wrote, "He was born to die." This morning, it is an honor to solemnly and modestly express our gratitude in every word and action. Christ came to fulfill the prediction of the prophets and the seers whom he had formerly instructed to document. He came to fulfill and to complete the counsel of heaven. In this great mission work, he would validate his very own words. For this, every soul is under the most solemn obligation of gratitude to God. Jesus, the world's Redeemer, has pledged himself to accomplish the full salvation of every single son and daughter of Adam. If they do not accept this heavenly gift, they have only themselves to blame. This sacrifice that Jesus had made was ample and wholly consistent with the justice of God's holy law. The innocent suffered for the guilty. This should call forth our praise of gratitude, full and complete. I wonder this morning if there is someone here who would be willing to testify what the birth of our Savior means to them. It may be that you have a praise or a thanksgiving for what God has done in the past year on your behalf. Perhaps in the last week you've had a particular blessing that you wish to praise God for. Are you prepared to speak a few words about this unspeakable gift? We would appreciate hearing from you, yes. Thank you for sharing these testimonials and these praises and thanksgivings to God. Not only is it encouraging, but it's, shall we say, spiritually invigorating to hear your praises to God. Do you enjoy giving God praise for this unspeakable gift? Listen to what someone once wrote about this type of worship to God. "Every heavenly intelligence is interested in the assemblies of the saints who on earth meet to worship God. From the inner court of heaven, they listen to the testimonies of the witnesses for Christ in the outer court on earth. The praise and thanksgiving from the worshipers below is taken up in the heavenly anthem, and praise and rejoicing sounds throughout the heavenly courts because Christ has not died in vain for the fallen sons of Adam. Now, in consideration of this matter of praise and thanksgiving as revealed in God's words, we must realize that the work of labor for the salvation of souls does not rest entirely upon our minister. To each person, God has given his work. The Lord's work is to be carried forward by the living members of Christ's body. That's us. In the great divine appointment of God, each one is to be educated to act his part in the conversion of souls. Each one has enlisted in the army of the Lord, not for ease, not to study their own amusement, but to endure hardship as a faithful soldier of the cross. Every person must act his part, be vigilant, be courageous and true. As we are grateful, we recognize that God records our gratitude in increments of our faithfulness to him. We have the blessed opportunity of being faithfully unified with the members of our own church. We've been studying this topic of working together all quarter from our Sabbath School study guides. I trust you have found your Bible study to be rewarding this past quarter. Wouldn't we like to be known on earth and in heaven as Team Sutherland? Yes, we want to be unified. Now let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever heard that our Seventh-day Adventist World Church, through the governing body of the General Conference, has a dedicated strategic plan? Not too many. At present, this plan is called Reach the World. It's a 5-year strategic plan that was formulated and implemented after months of consideration at the 2015 General Conference session. This plan contains 21 objectives that focus on spreading the gospel and nurturing members. As the 2020 General Conference session is just around the corner, church leadership has recently introduced a draft of the next strategic plan. This new plan is known by this phrase, I will go. This plan contains 10 objectives and is intended, and I quote, to revive the concept of worldwide mission as a way of life involving every church member, young and old, in a journey of discipleship. The draft of this plan comes after much prayerful consideration, study, and many hours of work by various General Conference committees. If this plan is approved, it will be implemented at the 2020 General Conference session. The plan is meant to reflect a new and updated mission statement, which reads, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, who live as his loving witnesses and proclaim to all people the everlasting gospel of the three angels' message in preparation for his soon return. The wording of this mission statement is meant to reflect more closely the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and the missional messages and ideals of Acts 1:8, Revelation 14, 6 through 12. So I hope you'll remember this phrase as we move forward. By God's grace, I will go. So, as members of the Worldwide Church of Seventh-day Adventists this morning, we must ask ourselves a question. As recipients of this unspeakable gift, how do we personally and corporately engage in this strategic plan as the gospel of Jesus Christ moves forward? Let us offer our praise to God this morning as the gospel of Jesus Christ is moving forward. And I hope you're reading some of the stories that are coming out of various countries. It is astounding what is going on right now. Gratefully, we are given the assurance that the gospel will continue to move forward till the end. So in closing, I believe that you understand already that Jesus invites us to be co-workers with him. That's why you're here. That's why you've been working already. Praise God for that. So how are we going to respond to his gracious and incredible invitation to be team workers with him right here in Sutherland? I hope that we can be praying and thinking, especially how we can be engaged in the industry of heaven, both here in our community and around the globe. After appointing workers for his harvest, Christ once said, "The harvest is great, the workers are few." Pray the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into his harvest. I hope that you will be willing to commit to making this a matter of thought and prayer and action in the next few weeks, months, and years. We'll be hearing more about this. I count on it. And we will count it a pleasure and a privilege to learn more about what's going on and as we hear what goes on in the world church around us. In the meantime, let's continue to praise God for this unspeakable gift. We do thank you, Father, for befriending us, Amen. For helping us, for encouraging and strengthening us, but most of all, for sending to us our salvation, our redemption in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Might we have a fuller understanding of what that really means. May we dedicate our lives to doing as he asks us to do. Thank you for this season that we can be reminded. And Father, we ask now a blessing on the rest of our day. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.